working on throughout the process. So last time I was here, we talked a little bit about our concept, our next steps, things of that nature. We were working with East House. Since then we've had a lot of discussions internally with East House as well. And ultimately, we would like to introduce a new partner of ours, Kerry Michael Wynn with the YWCA. Kerry, a few words on what the YWCA does, what your vision is, how excited you are about this development we're working on, and the services that you guys are anticipating providing here.
Thank you, Rob. I am so delighted to be here today. The YWCA has been in our community for over 135 years. We started as a housing opportunity for women entering the workforce. And since then, we have evolved to really kind of examine what our community needs and how do we empower women. A lot of people don't know that we do serve a lot of men. Men are very important to our mission, and they help empower women. We have a full continuum of housing options at the YWCA, starting with emergency housing, housing for women that might be experiencing substance abuse. We serve a lot of women who have experienced domestic violence, people who are low income that just really need options in the community to thrive. We have very strong partnerships with developers. We have a huge portfolio of permanent affordable housing. We have complexes. We partner with developers to do set-asides. The big thing that we do is we provide support services for individuals who are living in affordable housing. So for this project, we would be a partner that helps to work with individuals to develop service plans and help them do things like budget, be a good neighbor, find supports that they might need to fully thrive. But we also are really into the idea of strengthening neighborhoods. So we work very hard to get the community involved in any of our projects through volunteerism, for us to go and volunteer in the communities. We love having young people involved in our mission because we think that building philanthropy really helps support and strengthen communities. So we are entirely thrilled to be a part of this project. We're thrilled to be a part of the community and the neighborhood. And I welcome any questions that you might have about the role that the YWCA might play, but I think you might be more interested in the details of the project, so I'm going to hand it back to Rob.
Thanks, Kerry. So I think what a lot of folks are familiar with or have seen in the past is this layout here. We got a lot of feedback with that. You know, we've talked about two-story building height, three-story building height. We've kind of looked through a lot of that, and I really tasked Roger and our design team to say, you know what, I think two stories here makes a whole lot of sense. We want to find some architectural elements from the neighboring areas to really complement the design here at the church and being, you know, its backyard neighbor. And so since then, it's evolved from this two type, just quick layout for discussion purposes only, into a one building, two story type building type that looks, in my opinion, very architecturally pleasing. So in order to get to that point, we talked a little bit about what we have to do in development to identify a development that's feasible. Part of that process is to commission a market study. Part of that is doing due diligence as it relates to getting an appraisal, working on soil examination, environmental examination, things of that nature. And so one of the things that folks had asked last time I was out was, how do you know that this development is going to stay full? And so part of that process and part of that response is getting a market study by a third-party certified market analyst. And they kind of determine a primary market area, which is basically a geographic map that shows where they anticipate people coming from as a result of quantitative and qualitative data, that where they survey market property managers, various apartment complexes in the area. They review census data and things of that nature. And they determine some factors within what we would create ultimately. And the key findings of that market study were 3 to 4 months to lease 45 units, which is pretty efficient. A 1.38% capture rate, and so If you've never heard of that terminology before, capture rate is basically, you know, in the numerator, the number of units you're creating, and then denominator, the total eligible households that you would be renting to. The lower the number, the better. Typically, below 20%, it shows market support. Below 10% shows very strong market support. So as you can see, with near 1%, we have very strong market support. And so that tells us that when we build this, there is a strong indication that it'll always stay leased. And so what that means to us is if the property is always leased and folks are always moving in, that there aren't any vacancies and shortfalls in the operational expenses. Oftentimes you see properties that can't stay full. They start to fall apart both visually and operationally. In this case, you know, not only that we are a strong organization financially to fill any shortfalls, but we also have strong market support with a 1% capture rate. So in getting to the architectural design, which I'll ask Roger to come up and talk a little bit about, you know, their thought process and how they selected various types of products within the elevations, which ultimately created a rendering, you know, we kind of typically look at surrounding properties to see, you know, what kind of features, you know, Roger can draw from. And so obviously you're familiar with this building down here, some of the neighboring properties here, and here, and also here. And that kind of gets us to what we're currently at with a two-story product type here, 45 units in one building. You almost have a courtyard-type entrance in the front, and in the back there'll be another courtyard for more of the resident enjoyment, things of that nature. But with that said, I'll pass it to Roger, talk a little bit about the design features. And again, you know, this is very early, so we're certainly open to any changes, recommendations you have, and by all means, just ask questions away. He's really good at that.
Good morning. First of all, the colors can change. And will. They always do. As this is a first blush. So the architectural intent, Rob talked about the two-story building. We have a main center entry. It is a two-story space, nice volume. Well lit, there's windows each side and up on the upper level, kind of like a balcony so people can overlook the entry vestibule. The lower portion of the building all the way around will be brick, very similar. We'll try to find something matching in color, probably not the texture of what's in here. It's exterior, so want it to be a little bit smoother so it doesn't stay dirty. Then we have brick elements as well, where they come up halfway up the building as well. Those are accent areas. The brick on the bottom also offers great durability. Everybody's familiar with weed whacking, lawnmower, shooting rocks around. So this keeps the siding from getting damaged. Then the upper portions of the building will be vinyl siding, and the gable ends will be shakes with decorative elements. Those will be maintenance-free. They will not be wood that needs to get painted. There'll be a vinyl element that just won't go bad. Try to keep painting to an absolute minimum. Probably about the only thing that will be painted are the columns near the entry and columns on the balcony areas. But again, we would probably build those out of vinyl and then paint the vinyl, so it would be very durable. The building is comprised of one and two bedroom units. I forget the square footage. I don't remember if those were on there. Yeah, 750 and 950. For the two-bedroom units. This building will have a trash room inside, so there will be no dumpster. There will be an exercise room as well as some storage. And the units will have bulk storage areas within the units, trying to keep things from winding up sitting on the patios. Right now, each one of the units has a balcony or a patio outside. It will be 100% wheelchair accessible. Every unit will be able to be, if it's not currently compliant with handicap accessibility, about 10%, I think we're talking, will have complete accessibility, and the remainder of the units will be adaptable, which means with very minor modifications, just easily add some grab bars, and then the unit would be accessible as well. So the idea is to make it a living environment where people can stay. Even as they get older, they can transition the unit to meet their needs. And that's about it.
Thank you. Any questions about the design as it currently stands? So, you know, we like to use these meetings as an opportunity to hear what folks like and what they don't like. So as we go through our municipal approval process, we can include some of your feedback to ultimately create the best product for the community. So, you know, I flipped this over to some of our friends at the development committee, and one of the comments was they hate the yellow. So,
sorry, Rap.
I don't like the yellow either.
And I don't know if you can read that up on there, but these fellas came to the development team about a month ago with six suggested names. And so this team chose that name, and I hope you're happy with it. It's going to be called Church View Commons. I hope that meets everybody's approval. Yeah.
We have a question over here.
I'm just wondering, do all the residents enter through this main entrance and then enter their apartments off the hallway?
Yeah. Roger, you want to take design-related questions?
Yes. The intent is that everyone would come through the center main entry. It will be a key fob type entry where the tenant will activate the door, unlock it, so that they can get in. Also, there will be an intercom system that allows them to buzz the door open. For example, if a nurse or the family member comes over to visit, so they don't have to come all the way down to the front door to get in. Also, there will be a couple benches under that covered entry. People waiting for a bus or just it's a nice day, they want to sit outside. Friends coming over to pick them up. That's the plan.
There must be more questions. Oh, I have a question over here.
Are all the units going to be YWCA units, or are some of them going to be market value?
So it'll be a mix. 24 units will be YWCA units, and the remainder will be market.
The information that was sent out by an email to the congregation showed an aerial view, and it looked like the parking lot, a lot more of the parking lot was used for this project than originally was planned. We originally had about one-third of the parking lot, and that aerial view that was sent out looked like it went more like 50% of our parking lot was used in the project. Has it been changed?
50% is a very high number. It's more like one-third. So perhaps the perspective on what you saw is a little bit off. But I certainly have more pictures to share with folks on the exact boundary that we've established within the ground lease agreement, which then carries into the design. So if it's all right with you, I can wait and show you on a future slide, or I can jump ahead and show you now.
No, if you've got an area view that shows that, that would be fine.
Okay, great.
Other questions? I'm getting my steps in, Rab.
That's right. You didn't know you'd have a workout today.
Is the project actually a U-shaped now? So there's the wings off of each end? Is that?
Yeah, so we have an H-shape. An H shape.
H, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'll show you on the layout slide. Any questions as they relate to architectural? So the elevations, color, things like that. I'll get into the layout on the later drawings. Go ahead.
So it looks like everything is above grade, and I expect this is a wooden structure?
Yes. Slab on grade, wood frame construction.
I was just curious as to, you've got the patio doors on the second floor, but just windows on the lower level. Is that intentional? You don't want people to have an entrance off of the ground area?
That happens to be YWCA space there. And they have a patio area off of their break room to the left. So, yeah.
Oh, I see.
That patio right there is off of the break room for the YWCA and for the office staff from Pathstone. That in particular is their office space.
Oh, I see. Okay. And the other thing I was just a little curious about is on the flip side of the canopy there, it's a one-story building with just a couple double doors. Is that a maintenance shed there?
Yes, that's the maintenance office. They need accessibility. Appliances get delivered. Equipment comes in and out of those doors, yes. So that's going to be the maintenance space. And to the left of that, way down at that end, will be the trash room.
Hold on a minute. We got one over here.
Just clarification. You just made a kind of a passing. That's WCA space or Pathstone office. So, are both of those organizations? Is there somebody on site during the day? All the time. Can you clarify that?
Absolutely. So we have a full-time property manager and then also a part-time maintenance individual. At the YWCA, you want to talk a little bit about the staffing structure, Carrie?
So the number of units that are designated at this property warrants a full-time case manager. So most of the time, our full-time case managers are 37.5 hours. So we'll have a dedicated space here where a majority of our time is spent here, with the exception of maybe capacity building activities or, all staff team meetings at our headquarters. In addition to that, the space is also utilized by community volunteers that want to come in and help do empowerment activities. We just have a dedicated space that is private or can be used for multi-purposes. So it's nice that we have a dedicated space here. And we do have experience working with Pathstone Property Management, and that is the beautiful thing about this is that between property management and support services, we can avoid any type of problem that might come up. We're constantly in communication, so it helps to have us both on the same property.
Hi. Because we have wonderful winters here with lots of wind coming off the expressway, is there a drive that goes down to the front entrance, or is it just sidewalk? I can't tell from the picture, and maybe the future ones will give us a clue.
It is not a covered porte cochere where you would drop off under a canopy, but the canopy comes out a ways to give you good protection. There is only a sidewalk entry from the curb to the building.
Jim Poole. Shh. Mr. Rogers.
I might have missed something there, but you were talking about leases 1 to 3 months. Is that just for the YWCA, or is that?
Yeah, so that was I think it was in the context of a market study. So the market analyst was saying, based on the market demand, he would expect the apartment complex of 45 units to lease up in only 3 to 4 months. So 45 people or 45 households moving in within 3 to 4 months.
This question is for the YWCA person. Can you give us a better idea of what type of tenants will be in this building? In other words, are they women who've been battered? Are they women who are just trying to get on their feet? Are they women who are overcoming addiction? Can you just give us an idea?
Of course. high majority of the individuals that we work with are low income, and many of them have experienced homelessness, but from the population that we work with, quite frankly, it's mostly women head of households that might have a temporary setback in their life and just need to get back on their feet and earn income and get access to jobs or skills. Some of the women that we work with, actually a high percentage of the women that we work with, 93% of the women have experienced some form of trauma, whether it be childhood sexual trauma, domestic violence, abuse in some form. There's economic trauma, living in neighborhoods which are not safe. We really want to get children and families access to communities like this because this is truly how people can thrive. Some people have substance abuse addictions that we work through. Some have mental health diagnoses that we try to work through and try to get the supports in place. Again, that's the value of having YWCA support staff, is because we can really work with people individually to design a plan that puts the supports in place, and then we're there with them through their progress. So if there's ever a setback, we're the first person that can help that person get back on track or get the supports that they need, and rely on the community to really help with some of those empowerment activities, like building a resume or getting access to a job. Just being part of a community is very healing and supportive. So we would be there in a very individualized way for each of these families. Does that help? No. Nope, these are permanent leases. We have, once we get people into quality, affordable housing, a high majority of our people will stay indefinitely. They get rooted in the community. They thrive in the community. Children have access to quality schools. People don't want to leave. And the great thing is that this is affordable. And so it's important for us to be in communities like this.
And then from the development and owner perspective, they're one-year lease minimums. Mm-hmm. Great. So let's keep moving.
Any other questions then?
Any more?
No. Okay.
Awesome. Feel free to interrupt and interject whenever you want. I just want to keep it as informal and more of a discussion as possible. So a little bit more just to reiterate some features that Roger was... missed it. I almost got it there. So let's see. Still working. To reiterate what Roger was saying, some of the features about this would be open, modern floor plans with on-site laundry. Roger had mentioned a fitness center going in as well. We have lounges. There is, on the YWCA side of things, an expression of needing other congregation areas for folks to sit down and hang out and meet with people. So there is a number of lounges within the property. We have owner-paid heating and cooling, which is a nice amenity for folks that are moving in. On-site management, maintenance, resident services being from the YWCA. A lot of landscaping, courtyard, green space, site lighting, really make it beautiful back there for you. Roger talked about accessibility. We didn't talk about resident storage rooms, but there will be excess storage bulk areas for residents to utilize if they can't fit everything into their apartment or home, and then balconies. So some things about design, I don't need to get into the details here, but super energy efficient, state-of-the-art efficiencies for mechanicals, electrical and plumbing type equipment going in. Unit mix, so the average is about 750 for one bedroom for square footage, and then for two bedroom about 950. For rents, you're about $1 a square foot for one bedrooms. For two bedrooms, just shy of $1 per square foot. They have different ranges based on size and whatnot. So getting to the questions about layout and the building type and parking, the next couple of slides here. So everyone's familiar with the location. Red boundary here is the Gates Presbyterian Church parcel. Offices to the south. Garden factory to the east, apartments to the north. So here is the site plan and features here. I can see that line does see look like it's teetering over a little bit, but once it's to scale, it's not quite that line here. I've got the parking plan that's actually an exhibit into the land lease agreement that we have. But from conversation purposes, here is the church building that we're currently in, the current driveway in. This right here is a secondary access road. In the event the county says we need additional access, we of course don't want to install that if we don't need to. So the engineers are working out, you know, is this right here currently acceptable? Does it need to be widened? Things like that. Those costs, obviously anything above and beyond what's currently in place is a development cost. So don't worry about the church taking on additional expenses as it relates to this development. So coming to the layout here, we spent a lot of time on a number of different versions of what's the right layout here. You know, we looked at an L version, we looked at a T version, a number of different factors here, a C even, something that looked like a J. So I thank Roger and our civil engineer for being patient, but we wanted to make sure when we do introduce this, it's the right concept here. And throughout that process, we've been checking in with the development committee, with Jan and Ed and Tom and Bill, to make sure that, you know, what we do introduce is the most, I guess, the best of the available options. And so with this H-style building, obviously it's skewed to the right, but the intent was to try to mirror the existing property as much as possible. So you almost have like a complementary building just in the backyard. So what this does right here for us is it maximizes some of the green space. Of course, if you use a three-story, it's not, there's give and take. It won't look as good, in my opinion. And we also heard that from a number of folks that a three-story wouldn't look as good. So obviously with a three-story, you'd get more green space. You don't get as much with the two-story. But we ultimately, I told the design folks we can't go to three. We need to keep it to two. A lot of folks are telling me two-story is the way to go here. So we found a layout that works well, that offers a lot of green space. In the back right here, there'll be a nice little courtyard for the residents. In the front, you'll have almost a courtyard walk-up entry. It's kind of just mirroring the opposite building over here. Let's see here. So you have different wings in here, but everyone, you know, within the property will be kind of all over the place. Go ahead, question.
Hold on.
Here, wait. Yeah. Is that a pond in the bottom left corner?
Yes. So the civil engineering is working on whether it needs to be a retention or a detention pond.
I'm worried about safety concerns. Are there going to be children living here?
Yes, all the ponds are fenced off, so you shouldn't worry about that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions as it relates to layout before I get into parking and traffic considerations? Go ahead.
I should have asked earlier. Are there going to be elevators in here, or are all the disabled accommodations on the first floor?
We have one elevator and three stair towers. So the elevator part of it makes the entire building 100% visitable by anyone with wheelchair needs. And then also, you know, we look at increasing, our standard is 5% ADA. We like to get to 10%. You know, if we have market needs, we may go a little bit higher for that. So that elevator makes those second floor units wheelchair accessible as well. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's the layout. So some existing structures before we get into parking. We noticed that, so here's the approximate boundary of the leased space. So to the left of this line here and cuts over. So basically, the shed and the maintenance structure stay in place here. It looks like the playground right here is disturbed. So, you know, what we thought was, well, it's here. What people think is best to pretty much move or relocate that playground. And there's a couple different thoughts, you know, where it could go. One is just shifting it over a little bit, so you obviously will demolish it and then create something new of similar specification and style. Just right there. And then this line may change as a result of that so that it stays within the Gates Presbyterian Church property and outside of the leased space from Churchview Commons. Another idea is, could you fit some playground equipment just in the front? Another idea is, could it fit over here and where you can fence off and landscape around it, and give it some curb appeal so you don't notice. You see some of the YMCAs and other daycare facilities have playgrounds kind of that are visible by the street, but then there's nice landscaping around it. So just as to show that, you know, we do have some decisions to make about the playground area and where that will go, because in its current layout and in its current lease space, it will be disturbed. So we need to find out what is the best solution to put a new playground in, because the old is, in its current state, is looking like it'll be demolished. So questions on, or thoughts on location? Nice, here we go, some hands.
So if I'm understanding it correctly, there's an issue if the playground is on leased space, is that?
Yeah, so the leased space is to the left, and then all, furthermore, the this right here is the existing playground outline based on a survey map.
Wouldn't the children in the rented spaces want to use the playground?
They would. Oftentimes, you like, from a contractual perspective, to try to have a separation of those two. We can certainly work on maybe some sort of agreement to share playground space. But the point here is we'd have to move this playground area into an area that makes the most sense. And then we can, you know, figure out what makes the most sense contractually based on, is it inside or outside the lease space, or is there a cost sharing or an easement agreement in place for everyone to use the playground, because there is a daycare on site currently, or after school care on site now.
There is a preschool.
Thank you.
You know, my impression is that the whole purpose here is to kind of expand our community.
Yep.
So it just seems kind of segregational. To, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right about that. So what we're trying to figure out is, how do you put it in the best space? Because currently, it's the building is laying on top of it. And so I then first need to know, where did it go?
Understood.
And then from there, I then go, okay, how do you treat things contractually so that there isn't a liability issue with kids that are staying in Churchview Commons, and then also kids that are utilizing the preschool program now? So if someone falls and gets hurt, who's responsible? So we have to work through those types of those thoughts now as we get further along. So to me right now, it's very early to get through all those details. I think what makes the most sense is identifying, you know, the best location for it, for the most optimal use for everyone, and then we can kind of go through all those contractual related details further down the road.
This isn't about the playground, but just mm-hmm. so I don't forget, mm-hmm. if they have to put a new road in,
yes,
and we have our community garden,
mm-hmm.
is the church going to be responsible for relocating the community garden, or mm-hmm. are you?
Anything that's disturbed is a development cost. So,
okay.
So that's the other thing here. That's the current community garden, and currently it lays right over the road. So another thought is, where do we put this thing? Do we demolish and build new just right here on the property line, or do we put it here? So some of these, you don't have to answer today. I think the best way to do that is voice some comments to the development committee, and then they can kind of bring to us what makes the most sense for the congregation. And we, of course, can put it wherever you guys want, right? It's just a matter of starting that conversation, having understanding of what the needs are, and so we can work to a best-case scenario decision here. So, yeah, two of the things as it currently stands are garden and playground that look like they will be disturbed, but the important thing is we're easy people to work with, and we want to figure out what's the most optimal solution to put these current amenities and new spaces to make them better amenities in the future.
Concern about putting the playground in the back.
Mm-hmm. Here.
Right now, kids could go out in the parking lot and lay down for 10 minutes and not have to worry about getting run over. But once this new project's in, that's a high traffic area. So that means that all the kids that come from the church to use the playground, if it isn't back, have to cross through a high traffic area, mm-hmm. which is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. So I would say give a lot of consideration to putting it someplace where the kids are out of traffic.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a great point.
The along with traffic, your parking lines show that we changed the direction of parking 90 degrees so that we don't park across the lot as we mm-hmm. currently do. Mm-hmm. How is that supposed to work?
So the civil engineer is working through how to best maximize the asphalt space here and to better utilize pretty much its current space. And so oftentimes you have these a different type of layout to, one, help minimize any of those traffic-related speed issues. You know, you had mentioned that a child could lay down and as it currently stands right now, not have to worry about traffic. So just by simply changing lines, if we take on those improvements, you're naturally already slowing down traffic. Similar thinking to, you know, like a grocery store, right? So if you have parking all over, if you just have one long strip and parking is almost a free-for-all, then people are going to be driving a little bit differently. Or if you can design pretty much a new layout with it, new stripping, so that you can control the way cars are driving, it's going to be less of a safety concern. So the engineer is currently just thinking, well, does it make sense to do this? So he threw it out on a piece of paper and said, hey, you know what, get some of the congregation's feedback on what are the thoughts on kind of reorienting some of the parking here. And so let's get to parking here. So we counted on Easter Sunday last year 121 cars in the parking lot. So with this new layout, the engineer is showing a new total space of 189 spaces. Within our lease agreement, we have a need for 62 parking spaces here. So this blue area is essentially that boundary for our leased space for parking. So getting back to your comments about this new layout, what the engineer is doing is he's tasked with trying to figure out the most optimal solution to improving the parking lot so that, you know, one, you can you don't have to worry as much about safety, and two, to most effectively utilize the square footage within it for maximized parking spaces.
I had a question about the parking.
Yeah.
I think you just answered it. So this leaves the church about 120 parking spaces, mm-hmm. is that true?
Yes. So, yeah, so just do the math, right? 189 minus 62.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And how many parking spaces are there? You said...
With this, currently he's showing 189.
Right. But how many are for the apartment?
62.
I know we're a long way off from this, so but just a comment back on the garden. You can't put that garden over by the property line unless you get rid of those trees. We already have trouble with a few of the gardens mm-hmm. from the impact of the trees where it is today, so that would definitely have to be considered if you think you're going to move it further north.
Okay. So I take it you do not want to impact the trees, but find the best location without damaging trees. Yep. Okay.
My question's about the parking again. Mm-hmm. Is there actually going to be a physical division between the church parking area and the apartment parking area?
I'd like there to be, so you have a clear understanding of grounds and maintenance. So there's a demarcation point, which we'll be, you know, making sure that they make into the civil engineer's drawings. Sometimes you can have, you know, just a paint strip for a demarcation point. Other times you kind of almost have like a mini curbing system for a demarcation point. But I think it's important for current contracts in place to have that, you know, from a operations and maintenance perspective, and then also, you know, obviously a clear understanding of whose property is whose.
Rab, are there any plans to put any kind of extra lighting on street poles or anything on those islands? Any thought about that at this time yet?
I personally don't. That's a question I typically defer to our civil engineer. The civil engineer will go through the rezoning and site plan approval process, and those comments are typically addressed with the municipality to make sure that, you know, one, the lights that would be installed are dark sky compliant, and then two, there's sufficient lighting for development of this size, so that you know, there's any, it remediates any possible concern or thought about safety or anything like that. Any questions about parking and traffic? So just wanted to point out this right here.
Hold on, one more question.
Go ahead, yeah.
Rob, I think you mentioned there'd be one elevator.
Yes.
I have worked in buildings where there's only passenger elevators, so moving furniture without a freight elevator could be problematic. Is this elevator big enough to double as both?
It should be, Roger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know the dimensions off the top of your head? So a little bit about traffic. Here's a citation of New York State Department of Transportation. So as you know, there's some in and out traffic here on the commercial spaces below. There's one entry currently. So some preliminary thoughts with the county DOT is, or state DOT is, they're saying, you know, this long road driveway here could be sufficient. Perhaps it needs to be widened for to stay. Those costs would be on development. The second idea was, well, do you need a second means of ingress or egress? And, you know, we come from the mindset of not wanting or having to do that unless it's required. So, you know, in our document, we have an easement agreement or an easement area to allow for that should the approving agencies say it's required. And so that's a detail that the engineers kind of work through and come to the best case solution. But as far as traffic goes, here's kind of like the idea of where traffic is coming and going with these little red lines. A little hard to see, but to show you that we're giving that some serious consideration. So we have parking. So getting into our next steps, we're planning on and working towards a rezoning application. So the current zoning here is residential with a religious as a permitted use. So that would then be, we're requesting the entire parcel to be rezoned to MR, multiple residences, because you need that in order to build a multifamily property. So just to the north of this property is MR zoning. And so from a rezoning application, it's generally favorable if you're adjacent and contiguous to land that's already zoned what you're asking for your current land to be rezoned to. The idea of rezoning the entire parcel, as I mentioned in the past, is to help with density. So instead of, you know, the whole thought process of entering into a land lease with the back portion and rezoning the entire parcel to MR helps with density, so you can get to a unit count that makes the development feasible, and at a point where you can reach appropriate staffing and where you can put property expenses in it, and so the property looks nice in the long run. And so the rezoning application would be for the entire parcel, and then the church would be an existing permitted use as well. So that way it's more of a code compliance type detail that we've been working through on our end. As far as the church goes, you know, it wouldn't impact the church in its current condition in any way. Our timeline. Our questions about municipal applications and approvals first, actually. Go ahead.
Rob?
Yeah.
Just a question on the rezoning.
Yeah.
What's that rezoning going to do to the tax rate that the church is currently paying?
The church shouldn't have any increase in taxes. Our goal is to keep the church's taxes the same. Any increase, the development would bore that cost. So we're currently working through with the assessor on the exact mechanics of that. So typically, the improvements would be taxed, and the improvements would be the development, right? And so that tax would be applied to those, the assessed value of that improvement, which is Churchview Commons, and then Churchview Commons will then be paying that marginal increase in taxes.
So
no, because the use is still religious. Any other questions about the municipal applications that we'll be making? Great. So our timeline. A few months back in April, we worked through various topics. Was it a joint venture agreement? Was it, do we get into a land lease off the onset? Ultimately, the development committee had thought it was best interest for both parties, being the Gage Presbyterian Church and its congregation and Pathstone, to enter into an MOU. So we ultimately executed a memorandum of understanding back in April. In July, we executed a ground lease that was approved by the congregation and ultimately the board of the trustees here. Moving forward, we've been currently working on our due diligence, basically market study, environmental. We will be working on test pits, things of that nature, to make sure that the ground can hold this development, and then knowing how far down is bedrock so that it doesn't affect any building footers or footings or anything of that nature. We have a couple other items in our due diligence period, which will be coming to conclusion in the near future. From there, we're planning on next month to be submitting to the Town of Gates our rezoning application, in which we've communicated to both the town board and the zoning board of appeals, the ZBA. From there, we'll then be continuing and moving along our development design, just tweaking it, constantly just checking in with the development committee, making sure that the design makes sense, looks good, complements the existing surrounding uses. Oftentimes, that's the reason for that is that to be determined is at any point in time throughout the development process, you can either pull the plug if there's a what you call a deal killer or something that impedes development, such as say the grounds just are not suitable for a new development in the back part of the property, or say we cannot secure financing, or say the municipality does not approve our submissions. So there's a number of factors that go into that which either speed up our design or halt our design. So that's why you see it to be determined. Some very conceptual, it's hard to determine your closing date. When you'll start construction, because you need a lot of progressional steps to get there. But, in a best-case scenario, you're looking at next year. So that's a little typo right there. Looking at late next year for any type of financial commitment, maybe the following year for actual construction start. So, this is a very long process. The last development we worked on in Gates took about 5 years from the point of concept all the way through construction start. To put things in perspective, this concept started a little over a year ago, and we're just starting on our rezoning application processes. And so it's a long road. So by all means, it's supposed to be an iterative process where we constantly seek feedback and input and make tweaks to our design and get to the best available product for the community. So with that said, I don't have anything else on my end. Any questions for myself, Carrie, or Roger? Go ahead in the middle.
I just wondered who the building
Yes. Yeah, it's Home Leasing Construction. They're highly reputable. They've constructed a number of high-profile developments in downtown Rochester. You know, if you just look up Home Leasing Construction, they've got a long family history with the Lean House family in the Rochester community, one that has given back a considerable amount to the community, and one that actually cares a great deal about the quality of construction for what they work on. And then the next couple meetings we'll start to introduce, you know, their construction team members, things of that nature. Typically, I like to keep things conceptual first as things start to firm up, and then you bring the contractor in because they work for free until you close on the deal.
Back on your slide with the movement of the playground,
yes.
You could just pull that up.
Yeah, yeah.
You see that where it's moved in front of the church?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Just below that, there's two symbols?
Yep.
What do those represent? And are they moving? Because I see them in front of the church as well and behind the church.
Those were just, I mean, we'll probably have a better understanding just being out front, you know, out back, I should say. But on the survey, they showed them as accessory playground equipment type things. So I think that's the little tunnel things next to the swing set. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a few pieces of playground equipment, and those are just all three of them.
Oh.
Yeah. So you get a better idea of just looking back there as opposed to the map. Go ahead.
So if the decision was made to move it, you know, directly on the opposite side of the parking lot, we currently have a sign there.
Yep.
So then if that sign were to be displaced,
we would figure out... the most optimal solution to minimize displacement and to maximize benefit.
And then also talking about signage.
Yep.
Would there be a plan to have signs near the road that would list Churchview Commons, Gates Presbyterian Church, Presbyterian Genesee Valley, RAP, all that kind of stuff?
So, yeah, okay. Absolutely. So two things. Per our contract with the Gates Presbyterian Church, I think you guys are technically approving the signage.
Okay.
And then the other thing is the town of Gates needs to approve it as well. Town of Gates doesn't want to see, like, you know, 10 signs at the road. They want to try to see a simplified, cleaned up version. So we'll be working through those details to make sure it's the best looking product out there.
Session decided to hand that task over to the trustees. When it comes time to decide what signs need to be done and where they need to be placed, it's going to be the trustees. And if you ask Bill's here, isn't he? Where are you, Bill? Oh, Bill will tell you that one sign out there is about ready to go anyway, isn't it? Yeah, so.
Go ahead.
Do the apartment complexes that you've completed in Gates have their own playground set?
Yeah, they vary based on what the development concept is. So Queer End Commons 1 and 2 over on Elm Grove and Lyle Road, so just right around the corner from here, take a peek if you guys like, any time of day. Those both have playgrounds, but those both are predominantly 2 and 3-bedroom units. So their intent is to service larger families. And oftentimes, you know, with that type of unit mix, you have playgrounds as pretty much a necessity for our design. For a design that's more ones and twos, you know, we don't necessarily need a playground, but it's a nice amenity to have. And so kind of coming back to my thought process on, well, where do we relocate this? Is there a cost-sharing mechanism? Is there an easement-type mechanism that we can work on legally to make sure that both parties are covered? And so it varies based on the type of development. Go ahead. Ideally, you'd like to have one, so there's cost-sharing benefits there, and you just prorate the square footage. So it's pretty easy math once you get there.
Simon?
The rent that you mentioned per apartment, does that include utilities? Because if it doesn't, I can see that during the winter month, it can bump up and below... idea of low-income housing becomes...
Yep. Yeah, so the utilities, so two things with utilities, yes, they are included in this specific concept, in this development. And then two, we design developments that are highly energy efficient. So you see monthly utility rates or allowances or, you know, what you would expend for a two-bedroom being in somewhere the $70 a month range. For one bedroom, it gets sometimes down into $60 a month. So they're highly energy efficient, you know, with state-of-the-art equipment. But for this specific concept, the more important reason why we're including utilities in the rent is for the folks that will be working with the YWCA. So, you know, women and the other folks that the YW serves, getting on their feet, not having to worry about setting up their utility account, you know, having that taken care of for them as one less worry in life.
Hi, I should probably already know this, but we have two sheds out there. One's owned by RAP.
Yes.
And the other one by us.
Yep.
I assume they would have to be moved.
They would stay?
No, they're staying where they are.
They stay right. We carve that right out of the boundary agreement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. We that was a hot topic, so I told the engineer, hey, leave as much as you can.
Sherry.
So not that it ever snows here, but currently it gets plowed to the back of the parking lot,
mm-hmm.
which is where people will be living. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that it's going to have to go to the ends of the parking lot. Is there space there between?
My guess is the same. This is where I like to, you have highly qualified professionals, professional engineers. They look at that, they do the math, and they determine the best and most optimal spaces for snow. Based on this layout, yeah, I mean, you know, you have a couple natural spaces for snow. Let me see if we can get a better zoomed out version. Yeah, here we go. So you have down here, it looks like. Then you have up here, and then this corner here.
So we'd lose parking either way.
Yeah, so they, you know, the engineer will look at the site plan, the ultimate parking plan, and fit, and then part of that that government site plan approval process, you have to show where the snow banks are and where that snow is going. So that's part of their task on determining, you know, based on previous year data, snowfall accumulation and whatnot, and how big snow banks will be, and then where they're putting those snow banks.
The plowing that has been done has always been done in an empty parking lot. Mm-hmm. Making it very easy for them to get it out. Mm-hmm. When you've got 60-some cars that are permanently parked in one section, you're going to have to work around all those cars in order to get any snow out. And those are the people that need to get to and from the cars to the apartments.
Mm-hmm.
That just makes the plowing thing a lot more difficult than people first look at and see, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely... contractor's job to figure it out, right? And then we have from our contractual requirements with the Gates Presbyterian Church, there will be, you know, a cost sharing mechanism with a ceiling not to exceed on the Gates side of things. So we won't be exceeding what previous expenses were in addition to an annual escalator. The Gates Presbyterian Church is protected in that sense. So say if you're thinking, okay, it's more difficult to plow, that contractor may charge a little bit more. The Gates Presbyterian Church is protected in such that we've established a ceiling in its annual snowplow removal contracts with us, or at least our service cost-sharing mechanism, so the Gates Presbyterian Church won't bore any extra cost associated with new layout.
Oh, hi. I'm an apartment dweller, and I have a big parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with the snow removal. I mean, we work, we leave, it's all different. So you're not going to set a certain time and tell everybody get out and move your car at 6 a.m.
Right.
I mean, it's just not feasible, and even when there's snowstorms. So
yeah.
I'm just speaking on behalf of being an apartment dweller.
Yeah, it's,
you know, because you just deal with it.
It's a matter of life up here.
It's Rochester. We get snow.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get everybody moving their cars all
Right, right.
Um,
What effect will this have on our lease with Jeremiah's? They now lease our parking lot.
I can answer that one for you, Rob, because okay. This won't affect that lease at all with Jeremiah's. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah's recently came to us and the trustees and said they're not even using the parking lot that much at all anymore. And so their van is gone and things like that. And so they have renegotiated their lease agreement, and they're just not using it that much. So they might be using two or three spaces or something. And if there's a special event, then we have to work it out with them. So it doesn't affect Jeremiah's lease at all.
And then from a design perspective, I understand that the Jeremiah's parking is down here.
Correct.
Outside of the leased boundary area.
Yep.
So from us, we don't have anything to do with it.
Any other questions? Anybody?
I'm here all day, guys. It's my birthday, too.
It's Rob's birthday today. And he just got married last week.
You stole my thunder. I was going to say, and he got married last weekend, and he even came back today to do this, so thank you. All right, well, I want to thank Rob and Carrie and Roger for coming, giving their time. The property development team is going to have a short meeting with them after this down in the library. To review everything that was said here and to go over some of this stuff. But anything you have, any questions, concerns, we're here. It's Tom, it's Bill, it's Ed, it's me. Let us know what you're thinking, what's going on in your heads. And as Rob said, we started this about a year ago. I think it was in November last year, and we had our first official information meeting on this project. So as I said at the beginning, patience, perseverance. And a lot of prayer and passion, and a lot of prayer. So we covet your prayers because it has been a long time, and there is a lot of decisions to be made. So, again, thank you all. Oh, yes, thank you, Carrie. I do have from Carrie some, you want to take that off? She has some, she has some flyers on the Y services. She'll leave right around on the altar there on the table, it's fine. And then there's black and white copies of the land layout that you all got on that postcard, the card that came in the mail. If you want a bigger picture, it's not in color, but take them. Thank you. Would you go get that, take that down there? Thank you. Thank you.
morning, and I didn't want to, you know, the choir sits in there.